Turn in your Bibles. How about Matthew chapter 11? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30 are familiar to you. They're familiar to me, but I don't think that I have ever understood them to the degree that I understand them now. And I'm sure in the future that I'll be more understanding. That's just the way it is with the Bible, isn't it? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This sermon very simply is on this very simple topic, how to have rest. Amen? Now, but you have to stay awake during this next 30 minutes. And then you'll know. It's not a matter of having rest while we're here. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to truly bow before you and pray. Many have prayed. We've been praying all week, prayed this morning again. Pray right now, Father. There's some marvelous, marvelous words in these three little verses that can help us immensely. I'm asking you please to help us to understand them well enough not only to know what they say, but well enough to be able to do what they say, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord in this passage of Scripture makes a promise to us. He says, "I will give you rest." But it's not as easy as coming to the Lord and saying, "Hey, Lord, man, I am worn out. Help me sleep tonight." Although I've prayed that prayer many times. It's not just a matter of saying, "Hey, Lord, you said in here you give me rest, and I am beat down and beat up and beat sideways, and I am just fit to be tired, and I need rest. Give me rest." There's some ingredients here in these passages of Scripture that are very important to us. And when those ingredients are followed properly, then you'll get the rest that you're looking for. But this text definitely addresses that subject, how to have rest. And the very first thing is, in order to have rest, you must come to Jesus. That's what he said, "Come unto me." Come unto me, he said. You see, people get the idea that they have to deal with their labor, which is in here. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." They have to deal with their labor and they have to deal with their load first, and then I can come to Jesus. Now, I'll say to people, I'll tell you what we've seen in the lives of people in our church is that if you're faithful in coming to church, God does some things. And it's not because you are fulfilling the eternal obligation of going to church. It's because God does something for you when you're here. And I tell him, I said, "You ought to come to church." "Well," he said, "I got this and that. I got to knock out first. And when I get all that taken care of, then." And so if people get the idea, what I've got to do is I've got to deal with this heavy load that I'm carrying, and I have to deal with this labor that I'm involved in. I mean, some guys will say to me, "Man, I already work 6 days a week. Sunday's my only day off. Why would I spend it down there with y'all?" Exodus chapter 20 might have something to do with that. A man's supposed to work 6 days, and then he's supposed to take some time to rest, and that time is dedicated for the Lord. So you don't get this stuff out of the way and then suddenly have time for the Lord. Rather, it's coming to the Lord with your heavy load and coming to the Lord with your labor that actually helps you to start solve the problem. I mean, do you go to the doctor after you have solved the problem with your fever? "Oh, let me get this knocked out of the way, doc, and then I'll come down to your office to see you. I'm not feeling good enough to get down there today." Well, of course you're not feeling good enough to get down there. That's why you need to go. And so you go to the doctor when you're sick, and then the doctor does something for you to fix the problem. Right? Supposed to, anyway. doesn't always happen that way. That's why they call practicing physicians. Sometimes they're practicing on you. Now, you need the Lord to help you fix your problem with your labor and your load. That's why he said, come to me. Come to me. Come to me with it, and I can do something about it. But, you know, most people don't see the heavy load they're carrying as a problem. They just see it as the heavy load they're carrying. And most people don't see the labor in which they're involved as a problem. They just see it as, that's my job. That's what I have to do. This is what I do. And may I tell you, though, that labor and that heavy load will wear you down. And the world does not have the answer to that problem. The Lord does. The world says, take a vacation. I've done that. And I intend to do it again. I like vacations. But I'm going to tell you what. If vacations aren't a profitable time for refreshing and doing some things that get you closer to the Lord for when you get back, you know what you're going to need when you get back from vacation? You're going to need a rest. And so you're going to go to work to get over your vacation. I've been on vacations like that before. Sometimes they say, well, really what you need is some downtime. I like downtime. But I have a hard time getting uptime after downtime sometimes. Some people are on pills for anxiety and depressants and all those other kind of things. I'm not here to discuss medicine with you. I'm just telling you, we have become the society of people who abuse their bodies and pop a pill for the solution. That's not the solution. Some go to alcohol. A lot try entertainment. They'll be doing that this evening. Not y'all, but the rest of the crowd. Exercise programs, stress relievers, whatever. Any of those may have their place, but that's not how you get rest. In Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 to 30. Not that kind of rest. Okay? When I'm looking for rest of the kind that Jesus is offering, I have to look to the Lord for that rest because He is the only one who can offer that type of rest. It is a supernatural, divine rest down into the heart and into the mind and into the bones like no other rest you've ever experienced in your life. He said, come unto me and the pastor will give you rest. I know a lot of pastors right now that are worn out trying to give their congregations rest when the Lord ought to be doing that for them. He said, come unto me and I'll make sure that your wife gives you rest. He wouldn't even tackle that one. Or your husband gives you rest. Right? He didn't say that. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. So we're going to see what He has to offer. First of all, you have to come to the Lord. That's why we're here today. We've come to the right place. Jesus, what is it that you have for us? Well, the first thing about coming to Jesus is that you have to understand the nature of your labor and your load. See, He says here, come unto me. What qualifies you is that you are right now where He wants you to be. You are heavy laden and you are in labor. Some of you not yet, but soon. Pregnant. Gonna have babies. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You know what your labor is? Your labor is your work. Your labor is your work. But I'm going to tell you something. The way this world is set up because of sin that happened with Adam, where we have to toil in the dirt and, you know, raise the food and all that other kind of stuff and fight with the thorns and the nettles and the mosquitoes and all that other kind of stuff. The truth of the matter is that the work we do often becomes a yoke in itself. And that's not a yoke, son. That's no yoke. You're getting it now. It's weak. I realize it's weak, but it's Sunday morning also, you guys, you know. I'm not really with it, but you guys really aren't with it either, and you got to really try hard, okay? So you get into your labor, you get into your work, and really what the world wants to do, I'm serious, What the world wants to do is saddle you with a yoke of labor that weighs you down and keeps you from the Lord. When the Jews were in Egypt, they were in bondage under that Pharaoh. That Pharaoh, the Bible says, put them under a yoke of bondage, and they were laboring every day. But it was a labor that was with rigor. It was hard work, and I'm not opposed to hard work. I think hard work builds good character. But hard work of the wrong kind can destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what we have to understand is that the labor we do today, if we're not careful, could be something that was put on us by the world. And it, when the world puts that labor on us, that is going to be a yoke essentially put on you by the devil. I mean, the truth of the matter is most people that are working today, and I would say even here in the congregation, never think about why we're doing what we do. It's just my job. I don't think about it. I just get up on Monday morning, punch the clock, work all day, punch the clock, come home, and they tell me to be here tomorrow at 9. I'm there tomorrow at 9, punch the clock. They tell me you're leaving at 6, leave at 6. And they say, okay, now tonight stay up all night because the next day you're going to be here all night working for us. And you don't really give it much thought. You just try to adjust to the new schedule, and then you punch the clock and do that. But why? You say, well, I do that because I have to eat. Well, be careful with that. You might be doing what you do because you have an aptitude for it. You might do it because you like what you do. That's always good. Or you may think that you need it. The world has a philosophy that says this, you got to make a living. Now, I'm not, you're looking at me like, where are you going with this? It may be that you're involved in the family trade. Whatever, the question is, why are you laboring? Better question. Listen, for whom are you laboring? When I say, why are you doing what you do? You say, well, I got to eat. I got to pay my bills. I understand that. And that's kind of the curse that comes to every family because of what happened in the garden. But my question is, who are you laboring for when you do the work you do? That's a much different question. That's a much, much different question. You say, well, I'm laboring for myself. Solomon said, labor not to be rich. So, well, I'm laboring it because my mouth craveth it of me. That's a good thing, but I'm going to tell you what, your mouth's going to be hungry tomorrow too. What I'm getting at is that the Lord says, when you get saved, He says, when you go to laboring now, I want you laboring for me. That's a different deal. You see, what happens is that yoke becomes a yoke of bondage. Esau was under the dominion of Jacob, but then the prophecy goes on to say, when you have gotten the dominion over him, you will break his yoke from off of you. When the Jews were in Babylon, Babylon put them under a yoke of iron. In other words, a lot of us have a worldly philosophy of work and not a biblical philosophy of work. Do you understand that? Are you getting where we're going with this? So when you come unto the Lord, the first thing He's going to show you is, I'm glad that you're working, okay, because you have to work in order to eat, but are you working for me in that job, or are you working for the grindstone? And I'm going to tell you something, if you're putting in your labor for the company and not putting in your labor for the Lord, it will wear you out and it will be a yoke of bondage on your neck. The Lord said in Colossians chapter 3, He said, servants, you do your work as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now you say, well, I can't do the job that I do and do it for the Lord. It's not the kind of work that the Lord would approve of. Then you're in the wrong work. So that's the nature of your labor. The nature of your labor is you might actually be doing a job that came to you by the world, but not the job that the Lord wants you to have. Well, you say, if I do the job that the Lord wants me to have, I won't make as much money as I'm making today. Then you're laboring to be rich. That's your motive. I was in the banking business, and I got out of the banking business in 1989. And I say unashamedly, I am still not making the money today in the ministry that I was making when I left the banking business. How many years ago was that? 25 years ago. I'm not keeping up with the cost of inflation. But I didn't get into this to try to make the money I was making in the banking business back in 1989. When I went off to Bible college, I had to work all day and go to school 4 hours a night, which felt like all night. I would study till 12:30 at night, get up at 5:30 in the morning, read my Bible, go back to work, and do it all over again the next day for $5 an hour. You said, man, you must have gone to Bible college in the 1920s. No. 1990 and 91, 92. You say, well, how'd you make ends meet? Listen, when you take the yoke of the Lord's labor instead of the yoke of the world's labor, you can get that much work done and still be in rest. You got to understand, why am I laboring? Why am I wearing this yoke? Who am I working for? That's the nature of your labor. The other thing that you have to also understand is the load you're carrying. What is the nature of the load you're carrying? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. When you check out the cross references of heavy laden, you know what you're talking about? You're talking about donkeys and camels that carry big burdens. They are laden. And you get laden down with debt. You get saddled with responsibilities. Why? Covetousness. I decided I wanted something that the Lord wasn't ready for me to have. So since He didn't give it to me, I went down to the pawn shop and got it. Or however you do your business. Sometimes these days going to the bank can be like going to the pawn shop. It's okay. Laugh along with me. I realize. And you start carrying that stuff and it weighs on you. Have you ever not been concerned about paying a bill that was coming to due and you question yourself whether you should have got into that thing in the first place? Sometimes the load that you're carrying is a heavy load of sin. Again, the trouble is most people get used to carrying the weight and they don't ever think about the problems that are caused by carrying that load. A lot of marriages break up because of financial problems and they tried to buy their way into happiness by borrowing themselves into that situation and they were saddled with all of that responsibility and it became a heavy load. The underlying sin was covetousness. I'm not going in this direction today. I'm giving you an illustration all of you understand. You'll watch people that were overweight, get on a diet, lose weight, and you ask them about a month or two into the deal, how do you feel? They say, man, I feel great. I haven't felt this good in a long time. You know what it is? They've shed some of the weight they've been carrying. They did not realize was dragging them down. When they got rid of some of it, they were like, wow, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I can't believe how good I feel, they'll say. Now, oftentimes, the heavy laden results from the labor. In other words, if you get into something that is killing you in your job, then what you'll do sometimes is you will seek sinful remedies to deal with the labor, and now you got the heavy load of sin and the labor to deal with. You should have seen what it was like when I was in the banking business, how many guys went to the bars after work to drink in order to get relaxed so they could go home because they were so tied up after the strain and stress of the work they'd been doing all day. You say, well, there shouldn't be any strain and stress sitting behind a desk managing people's money. Then why did they all jump out of windows during the Depression? Sure, there's a load to that thing. How come people, listen, I'm looking around here, people have been in law enforcement, they've been in medicine, they've been in business for themselves, they've worked for other people. You all know people just like I'm talking about who got so, hello. That word, thank you. Weighed down by their labor, they chose sinful remedies to get relief. And doubled the problem. Doubled the problem. So Jesus said, you want to get rest? First of all, you got to come to me. Okay. Secondly, you got to understand the nature of the labor and load you're carrying. You come to Jesus Christ with this heavy load of killing yourself in your job and this heavy load of debt and sin that results from what goes on over there at your heavy deal and say, give me rest. He's like, are you kidding me? There's no way to rest an animal that can't get unsaddled from its burden. I don't have anything in all of my tools to deal with your problem. You are carrying loads I didn't put on you, and you are involved in labor that I didn't give you. I can't give you rest in that. Amen. And until you understand your load and understand your labor, you'll never understand why you're not getting rest. So you got to have the rest, you've got to come to Jesus, and then you've got to understand the nature of your labor and your load. Then you have to understand this. In order to get rest, get this. This makes a lot of sense. You've got to take Jesus' yoke upon you. And he's like, are you kidding me? I'm already loaded down with labor, and I'm already loaded down with the consequences of my labor, and now you're asking me to wear another yoke? There's no way. The last thing you need right now is more to carry. We go out and do personal work. Fishers of men, I love doing that, passing out Bibles. And we'll say to people, would you like to come to church? Man, already working. I got bills to pay. And now you want me to take the time off that I have to rest and go spend it down there in church? That's more than I can carry. See the problem? Hello? See that? You say, why would you ask me to take on more than I'm already doing? But that's what he said. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Did he not say that? Right. Sure. Thanks a lot. I ain't got time to brush my teeth, and you want me to read 5 pages of the Bible every day? Are you kidding me? I ain't got time for that. I mean, have you never lived in this world? Have you never been faced with those problems in your life? Where am I going to find the time? He keeps preaching over there. You got to read your Bible. Where am I going to find the time to do it? I don't even have time to sleep. Take my yoke upon you. Thanks. I came to you for rest and you said yoke up. Thanks a lot, man. And you know what? That right there will keep a lot of people away from the Lord. I already got more than I can do. How can I take on more than that and get rest? The answer, listen, when he says to you in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. You know what he's telling you? You're going to have to get out of this yoke. And you're going to have to get out of this yoke. And then you take my yoke. See, that's the part you didn't get. You say, you mean you want me to change my job if that's what it takes? That didn't necessarily mean what it means, but it may involve that. Get out of this labor and get into my labor. Get out of this load and take my load. When I answered the call to go into the ministry in 1989, I can't even calculate the numbers of dollars that we owed in debt. But it was big. And I told my wife, I said, we've got to do everything we possibly can to get out of this debt. And so consequently, there was a lot of self-denial that was involved in that. And by the time that thing started clearing, I was looking out there in about 1995, and I said to her, I said, by December of 1995, I think we can get this done. And I was praying and praying and praying. And I'm going to tell you, God blessed some things in our lives and did some things to help us get shed of some assets that would allow us to get shed of some debt. And by December of 1995, we were out. That load was gone. And I'm going to tell you something. It's easier to take the yoke of the Lord when you don't have the yoke of the world. Matter of fact, the only way to get rest in the yoke of the Lord is to get out of that one. Now I'm wearing the Lord's yoke, and you know something? I just get to sit here and go like this. Okay, Lord, now that I'm in your yoke, we work within your provision. And if the provisions are there, then we have the wherewithal to make an expenditure. If the provisions aren't there, then we just don't do it. So how'd y'all build that building without debt? We just work within the Lord's provision. And I'm going to tell you something today. We are not yoked up with the world. We're just yoked up with the Lord. And I guarantee you, carrying His yoke in this circumstance today is a whole lot easier than carry it with a mound of debt. And you know what there is in this? Rest. Rest. He says, you're going to have to take my yoke upon you. That means you've got to have to get rid of your yoke. Listen, if you are carrying a load of sin over here that is weighing you down, the Lord says, take that yoke of bondage off your neck and put my yoke on your neck. You can't carry that. And you don't have to carry that load of sin. I carried that load of sin with me on the way up to Calvary. I died for those sins, shed my blood for those sins, and you do not have to live with that yoke of sin on your neck. Amen. I got it where you can get rid of it. Just kick it off and put on my yoke and things will be a lot better. People get the idea that they can carry their own yokes and then come to the Lord for rest and get the rest. You can't. You can't get the rest unless you are in His yoke. That is the key factor of this passage of Scripture. You say, well, I just can't drop everything. You're absolutely right. You're right. I couldn't drop it in 1989 and get out of it till 1995. But you know what it starts with? It starts with the decision, I'm not wearing that yoke anymore. I got it and I'm saddled with it because it's something that I put myself under, but you know what? As soon as I can get myself shed of it, I'm done. Many, many years ago in the Depression, there was a fellow that was trying to make up the meager little paycheck that he had by gambling, and he racked up $2,000 in gambling debts. His last name was Christensen. $2,000 in gambling debts in the 1920s when you're making 50 cents an hour, that's a ton of money. He got saved. That in itself is a beautiful story. 3 weeks later, his wife and daughter got saved, and then this is what he said. Now listen, I racked up those debts. And I have to pay those debts because I may have the opportunity one of these days, even though those are gambling debts, I may have the opportunity to witness to those guys and my testimony has to be right. And I owe the money. For 2 years, that family, I kid you not, ate pea soup every day. And on Sundays, they added a little sausage. I kid you not. 2 years. He paid that debt. And when he got out of that debt, you know what? He got out of that yoke. And when he got out of that yoke, he got more rest. And he got more rest. He could do more for the Lord. By the time that little girl grew up, they'd learned to pray and live within the Lord's provision. By the time they were praying every day for just the sausage to be able to stick in that pea soup there on Sundays. By the time that little girl got married, they served 250 people turkey dinner. Why? Because now they were yoked up with the Lord and operating in His rest, then yoked up with the world and operating in their lack of rest. Yeah, it takes some time. You can't just jump out of it and say, I'm going to walk out. But I'm going to tell you something. As you come out of His yoke and into His yoke, out of the world's yoke and into His yoke, you are going to find that load is getting lighter. Because He says here in verse 30, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And He's not lying. You say, how do you know that? Listen, if you're here today and you've never gotten saved, I'm going to tell you what happens to a lot of people when they do get saved. Not everybody, but a lot of them. You deal with them thoroughly out of that Bible and they realize that Jesus Christ took the punishment of every sin they ever committed in their lives and they bow their heads to receive Jesus Christ. I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen so many times I wouldn't be exaggerating if I said I've seen it hundreds of times. They'll pray like this and they'll say, "And Lord God, I thank you so much for dying for me. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Take my sins away and give me your righteousness and help me to live as a Christian and take me home to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." And they'll look up like this and tears come to the bottom of their eyes and a big smile comes on their face and they'll say this. They say it on their own. They say, "I just feel like a heavy burden was lifted off of my shoulders." Amen. You know what that is? They traded yokes. They traded yokes. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Man, I know it to be true. There's something else in here. He says, when you come to me, first of all, and understand the nature of your labor and your load, and then you take my yoke upon you, he says, then you're going to have to learn from me, learn of me. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You know what you have to do? You have to learn from Jesus how to wear the yoke. Because he's already worn it. You have to see how he did it. Did Jesus come down here to do his own will? Then you can be sure anytime you're ever trying to squeeze God into your plans rather than you go into his plans, you have picked up the wrong yoke. And there are a lot of Christians today who are trying to squeeze God into their plans. Amen. And that's the wrong yoke. You know what you do? You shed that yoke and you say, "Lord, I don't care what it is you want me to do. Put the yoke on me. That's the one I'm carrying. Makes no difference to me. I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to please you." We get together in the staff meetings in the morning and pray. And when we pray, that's the staff meeting is the prayer meeting. and we pray. And we used to pray, "Lord, help us get all the things that are on our schedule done." Now, you know what you hear everybody praying? "Lord, help us to get your work done." Instead of checking it off of our list, Lord, we want to check it off your list today. Amen. We want to make sure by the time we're done, we've done what you wanted us to do. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a better yoke. Amen. You have to learn these things. Did Jesus come down here with his own agenda? Did he try to force God into his plans? Or did he do the Father's will? Did he preach the Father's doctrine? See? Did he please his Father? He said to all those that were gathered around him, "I do always those things that please him." He checked in every morning and did everything all day long, just like God wanted. Just like his Father wanted. The why and the wherefore of everything Jesus did started with his Father. And in many of our cases, everything we're doing started with us. It really did. And then we're going to ask God, "Give me rest in this mess." Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work that way at all. You learn that Jesus Christ was able to do what he did with exceeding great power. There were many times when he had to skip meals in order to do what he did. And he said, my work, I'm not down here to labor for that kind of food, that meat that perisheth. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." Totally different, totally different. When you look in your own life and you see a conflict between the yoke you're carrying and the one he wants you to carry, where there are simple, basic things that you know he wants you to do in your Christian life that you're not getting done, I can tell you right now what the problem is. It's very simple. You're carrying two yokes. That's the only problem. You say, "Well, I've got friends of mine years ago that said to me, 'Preacher,'" and I'm just showing you how this goes, "got themselves in a financial condition and heard about tithing and said, 'There's no way we can tithe. If I can't pay 100% of my bills with 100% of my money, how in the world am I going to pay 100% of my bills with 90% of my money?'" I said, "Just do it. Take that yoke." Within months, they come back and say, "I don't know how it works. I just don't understand this at all. Back then, I couldn't pay 100% of my bills with 100% of my money, and now I'm paying 100% of my bills with 90% of my money, and I got money in the bank. Amen. I don't know how that works." Different yoke. See? It's a different yoke. If you can't do the basic things, then the problem is you're trying to get the rest from Jesus Christ while wearing the wrong yoke. What did Jesus do here? I'll move right along. Let's finish this up. He said, "You need to learn of me, for I am meek." What does that mean? I am meek. What does that mean? You know what that means? Very simply, submissive. That's a real good definition of the word meek. I'm just submissive. And he says that I'm lowly in heart. You know what that is? Humble. Submissive and humble. The two ingredients to whatever God wants you to do in your life is submission and humility. That's what you learn when you look at Jesus Christ. He humbled himself as a man and became a servant. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The old Moravians, when they went to the mission field, you know what they had? They had an ox. That was their insignia. And on one side was a plow, or a yoke, and on the other side was an altar. Use me to pull, or sacrifice me. Those were the only two options. It wasn't about prosperity and building mansions and great big things down here. I'll take either the yoke or the altar. Those were the only two options they gave themselves. And they were very effective in their work for the Lord. Meek, submissive. It's the number one thing. And you know what I find today? In my own life, and in the lives of most Christians today are not submissive. No, you see that in the way the church has gone. Give me everything I want and I'll come to your church. And if you quit giving me what I want, I'll go somewhere else. Jesus was lowly in heart. He humbled himself. He became a servant. He was the king, but he rode a donkey, worked as a carpenter, washed his disciples' feet. Learning his yoke, his way, changes everything in your life. Because now you work as a servant of Jesus Christ. You work in the ministry as a servant of Jesus Christ. You submit to your husband if you're a wife, and you love your husband as Christ loved the church if you're a husband. You love your wife as Christ loved the church. I don't know if I said that right. You do everything according to his yoke. That's why the Lord tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. As soon as you saddle yourself with that responsibility, you will never have the rest that Jesus Christ promised. You've got to take off your yoke, pick up his yoke, humble yourself, submit to him, and learn from him, and then this. You say, is this the last point? Yes. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's not something that he just lays on you in the midst of your storm. It's something you find in the midst of wearing his yoke. It's like finding a buried treasure. You dig around. It's like finding wisdom in the Bible. You dig around until you find it. It's not an instant thing. It's a thing that allows you to stand up and say, whoa, this yoke really is lighter. It's there. You just have to find it. Now, some of you have been living like this, but I'm going to tell you something. You also find yourself very tired from time to time. I have. You know what the problem is? When you got yourself worn down and doing the right things in Christ, you know what happened to you? You picked up a yoke that you had let down before, or you added a burden that God didn't want you to have. That's what it is. It's not the devil did this to me again. No, you picked up something you weren't supposed to carry, is what happened to you. And you don't find the rest when you're carrying something the Lord doesn't want you to have. There's a reward for doing it His way. We won't take the time to discuss it. You're going to have your eternal rest one of these days, and when you take His yoke and get up there, you're going to find the payoff far greater than anything the world would have given you down here for carrying the yoke you're carrying today. Amen. What's the conclusion of this? How do we wrap it up? Very simple. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I promise you, I know from personal experience and from the Scripture, you will find rest in Jesus Christ. You are laden with sin, and just like that example I gave you, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will feel, you don't live by feelings, but there is a noticeable lifting of the burden of sin. And if you are here today and you are worn down in the rat race of life you are living, you will find rest in Jesus Christ when you start doing His will and wearing His yoke and let go of the one you're carrying. Amen? Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to study these words, and we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. Help me. These folks don't want a tired pastor. They want one just doing your will. Help us, Father. Wives don't want tired husbands, and husbands don't want worn out wives because of carrying a yoke that doesn't belong. But Lord, we have to know what we're carrying that you don't want us to carry. And I ask you today, Father, as people have bowed in prayer, that they can see the yoke they're carrying. If they're carrying a burden of sin today because they hadn't been saved, I pray your Holy Spirit will make that plain, plain as the nose on their face, that they can be saved today and have that burden lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Father, for all these that are gathered here today, Father, most of whom are Christians, Lord, some carrying more than one yoke and carrying a burden and laden down with something they don't need to carry today, Lord, I pray that they will be able to see it. Your Holy Spirit will put your finger on it right now and say, it's that right there that you're carrying. And I pray they'll shed it in their seat or come to this altar some, find a good time to do that here and lay that burden down and shed it and pick up your yoke. And I ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.